line, Millie DeMays, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast joins us now. Elliot, always appreciate you checking in and always enjoy our chats with you. I think I asked this a couple months ago. I said, right now, yeah, where it stands, are you taking the Bruins or are you taking the field? I believe you said the Bruins. Do you feel any differently now that they fell to the Florida Panthers 6-3? Are you still taking the Bruins or the field?
You see, Carolyn, I am a very stubborn person, very stubborn person. And I believe if I take a bet, I stand with that bet until it's no longer possible. So even if the Bruins were down 3-0 and the score was 6-0 starting against them, starting in the third period of game 4, I would still stay with my pick until they were officially eliminated. You know, the one thing I kind of laughed at this morning was Jim Montgomery. They asked him if Patrice Bergeron was traveling to Florida, and he said, you know, I really don't know. I haven't checked with the trainers. I kind of looked at that one, and I said, I find it hard to believe that the head coach doesn't know if the captain is getting on that plane.
That is suspect. First of all, Elliot, before we go any further, what is the sleep meter right now? I know after night number one, you know, you had some games go deep into the night. You got to condition yourself for all these games. How are you holding up?
I'm doing really well, Willie. I understand that people aren't going to feel really bad for me that I might not be getting my beauty sleep while watching the NHL playoffs. You know, the thing with me is that it's like my son who's 11. Like, I leave home usually before he comes home in the afternoon. So if I don't get up in the morning to at least see him, I don't see him for weeks at a time. Now, sometimes I think he considers that a bonus, but I like to see him.
Very fair. And I admire your stubbornness, Elliot. I think that is a wonderful attribute. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Dumba hit in the game one of the Wild Stars game. I thought that the major should have stood, and I thought that the Department of Player Safety would at least look over it, but was downgraded to a minor, no suspension to Dumba, and the Player Safety Department did not look any further into it. Kind of your thoughts and why you don't think it was taken any further than it was in game one.
Well, the one thing I would just say, Carolyn, is that it was given no penalty. The minor was for the ensuing scrum with Max Domi. So it actually went from 5-0. He was not penalized at all for the hit. I actually thought that was the right call. You know, the one thing I'll say is this. I think that was, like, put it this way, it's either clean or it's dirty. You can't say it was a clean hit, but it was a little bit late. That's not a clean hit. If it's late, it's late, and it should be penalized. I thought the hit was clean by the letter of the law. I think that as a society, though, and Derek, you played one of the toughest sports known to man, we find it harder to tolerate those kinds of injuries anymore. Mm-hmm. I think when people see Pavelski go down like that. And unfortunately, I think one of the biggest problems there was he was hit by the stick, and he was probably out before he even hit the ice. Is that we look at those plays and we say, I don't care if they're clean or not clean. I don't want to see that. I think by the letter of the law, I thought they got it right, but I think people just look at it and say, we don't need that stuff anymore. So I think there's two different parts there, Carolyn.
You're absolutely right about that, Elliot. I'm talking about Elliot Friedman. That the perception of the hit means more than what the rules state would be an illegal hit.
Yes.
And fans are like, listen, when we're talking about football, fans are like, listen, we want to get away from that. We want our players on the field. The league is saying it. Even other players are saying it. Listen, we don't want to get to a point where we're out there trying to hurt one another in one another's career. And I asked Willie that same question about that hit because, yes, it was a legal hit, but there has to come a time where, you know, player to player, yes, I can take that hit, I understand it, but I'm not going to take it to the magnitude that it needs to go because, yeah, I want to get you, but I want to protect you too. And I think unless the players change how they feel about it, the league is not going to say anything about it, because I think the league, especially when it comes to the playoff, they like to see the play sort of get more aggressive and ramped up, which to me, if you don't want to see it in a regular season game because you want to protect the players, that's what you're saying, then it should be the same way in the playoffs.
You know, I think it's a great argument. And to be honest, I think we could do a whole show on this whole conversation. Like, I do think that the players change a lot in the playoffs. I don't think you can play – like, you guys remember that great natural run to the Stanley Cup Final 6 years ago and how hard the Predators had to play to get there. I think the NHL changes more than any other league regular season to playoffs, because – I don't think you can play 82 games in the regular season the way you play 28 games in the playoffs. I don't think it's humanly possible. I think the toll on the bodies is too much. But once the playoffs start, it really changes. And even among friends, guys, it's take no prisoners. And but the one thing I do think is I do think the game has changed a lot. Like when I grew up, I was born in 1970. In the 70s and 80s and 90s, like, you looked at the way the game was played, like, it was a much, much nastier and meaner game. I think the fighting has gone down. Like, the player who was solely there to fight or clobber other people, that player isn't in the game anymore. The skill of the players is incredible. But I think this is the time of the year. And, you know, I think the one thing that one coach was telling me the other day, the morning after that happened, is, you know, sometimes even a veteran like Pavelski, and, you know, I will say this, Carolyn, to your point, I think one of the reasons that Pavelski was surprised is, A, guys don't normally get hit down there. And I think he was surprised where the hit came from and the fact he was already skating with another player. But I think sometimes even the veterans forget, once game one starts, the switch gets flipped. And I hear what you're saying, Derek, about the regular season and the playoffs should be the same. But in the NHL, it's the exact reverse of that. It really, really does change.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, how surprised were you that the Wild, after the great performance of Philip Gustavsson in Game 1, came back with Marc-Andre Fleury in Game 2?
You know, I made this comparison on our regular show up here earlier today. Do you guys remember in the World Series a couple years ago, when the Dodgers played the Rays and Blake Snell was furious when the Rays took him out in that deciding game?
Right.
And so the argument that night was either you believe in a process or you believe in the individual in the moment. And if you believe in the process and you take Snell out no matter what, then you believe the Wild did the right thing last night, because that's what they do. But if you believe in the individual, you say Gustavsson had an unbelievable game one, you start him in game two. And so I think a lot of people would base their decision on, are you a process person or are you an individual person? Now, what I think that game did last night, Willie, is now what? Like, if Gustavsson comes back for game three and he has any kind of performance, are you doing that again? Like, when your season's on the line and you get that result in game two, are you sticking to it? And I think that's where we are. Like, I think the Wild are going to have a big decision to make. Do they do now that they've done it once and that was the result? Can they afford to do it again?
Let's see if the process changes a little bit here. Can you put
it would with me anyway?
It would with me. So, Elliot, how can you put a sense into Nashville listeners the level of tension in Toronto for game two, with Tampa having won the first game the way they won it?
I'll tell you that. It's so I grew up here. I've lived here almost all my life. I'm 52. I went to university 2 hours west of here. You know, let's just say, like, this is surface of the sun temperatures today. It is, It's like, you know, I have some friends, they love the Maple Leafs. And because we all, like I said, we all grew up here, and I'm more detached from it, but they're still in. Like, my friends, whenever they rip me for my work, it's always done in fun. Like, they'll say, like, you're an idiot. How can you say that kind of stuff? I had a couple people call me on Wednesday morning. Like, these are friends of mine, and they gave it to me over my work, and they've never done that before. They were like, they were all over me, like, you were too easy on the referee with watching that game. You got to stand up for the referee. And I'm like, you guys are nuts. They were down 3-0 before they knew it hit them, and they got in it with 2 power play goals, and they got their asses kicked. They lost 7-3. Like, they didn't lose that game because of the refereeing, even though it wasn't great. But people get irrational here. And, you know what it's probably like here? The tension of, remember the when they were figuring out if the Music City Miracle counted? And everybody in that stadium is sitting there saying, is this going to count? And they're all going crazy. Like, your season hangs in the balance. That's what it's like here today. Like, these people, they've gone completely bananas. And I love it because, not because I want to see them lose or in a bad mood. It's because with all these people and these emotions, we don't have jobs. So I'm very much appreciative of it.
So, Elliot, just so you know, Derek was supposed to be the guy to catch the lateral from Frank Wycheck, but
I was out.
He was out. He was concussed.
Yeah, concussed.
Couldn't play. So it was Kevin Dyson instead, who still lives here, and he's, you know,
lives on.
They're both carrying on, the Titans' fame in our city today. All right. So before we let you go, Elliot,
I hope Derek, I hope you get 10% of every audit.
I need to talk to Kevin,
Dr. Kevin Dyson.
Exactly.
So Elliot, any takeaways from the Predators' end of season thing? Was unique. Like, you've seen it. A lot of teams who are going to make changes with GMs, coaches, whatever, I mean, you know it before they have, within 24 hours, well before you have the end of the season press conference. And Barry Trotz would not commit to John Hines, although they were both up there. They talked very positively about one another in the process. So give me your takeaways.
Well, first of all, I thought it was, I had the same response. I watched it online while it was happening. And when I saw that Hines was on the set there with Trotz and Boyle, I thought for sure he was coming back. I tend to take people at their word. I don't think Hines would have been there, and the conversation between them would have been as calm as it was if there was a real fear that he was not coming back. The one thing I wrote, and I'll say it to you guys right now, is, most people I know in hockey, they don't like coaches going into their last year of their contract because they don't like the uncertainty it creates and among fans, media, and even the dressing room. So I have to think one way or another, and maybe the Predators are the exception, but I have to think one way or another, they're going to have to sort something out before the season. I just generally don't think it's a good idea. You know, the other thing that really stood out to me from that press conference, and I always appreciate the honesty, were the comments about Ryan Johansson. Because I think Ryan Johansson has tried to find a way to adapt his game. I think he's tried to change a lot, like on and off the ice. And I think he's accepted that he's not going to be like a 20-minute-a-game player. But clearly there was a bit of a challenge thrown to him about, okay, well, now you've got to do it again. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, I talked to one player, and he said to me that, and we've talked about this on this show a bit, and he said that the one thing he absolutely is curious about is how the roles are going to be slotted in next year. Like, Tommy Novak, he's a top 6 forward now. And he said that Novak has to play in the top 6. Like, you might not be putting him in a position to succeed if he isn't.
Right. He's not a checking center. He's a scorer.
So when everybody's healthy, how's that going to look? And, you know, and I think the players understand that there's going to be some changing in roles, and they kind of took the Johansson comments. I think some of them at least did, is that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, when you guys get through the summer, how you guys are going to look when you line up next year. And I think everybody there is curious to see how it all looks.
Elliot Friedman, go get some sleep. It's a long road ahead. Always appreciate you for joining us.
My pleasure, Carolyn. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, thanks, Elliot. Yep. You too. We will react to that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.